So in seminary, they have what they call homiletics class. That's where they teach you how to preach. And rule number one in homiletics class was, if you have a really long gospel, you have a really short homily. I will tell you that I have broken every rule that I learned in homiletics class. Sorry. But the game doesn't start till 6:30, right? The story of Lazarus is one of my favorite stories. There's so many different pieces of it and so many moving parts. Rembrandt did a picture of the return of the prodigal son, and it is a classic picture. It's a classic study of the son and the father, and there's some other figures in the background, and you never really figure out who those figures are. I think that it's kind of important to remember that some of the things that were going on in this story is that when the younger son came to the father and said, I'd like my property, he was saying to his father, you're dead to me, and I want what's coming to me so I can go and party. And dad said, okay, here you go, have a good time, off you are. And of course, he doesn't do well. He doesn't do well at all, as one might expect. He comes to himself, he comes to his senses, he's taking care of the swine, the pigs, in this foreign country, and he wakes up and he says, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? My father treats his servants better than this, so I will go back to my father. I will tell him that I have sinned and I don't deserve to be your son, but I do want to come back and I want to be treated as one of your servants. That would be okay with me because I understand what I have done wrong. It's interesting that the father sees him from a distance. This is not something that just happened overnight. My guess is that the father understood and realized that the son at some point in time would come to his senses. He would have a catharsis and would come home. And so he waited for him. And when he saw him, he went out to greet him joyfully. The son was probably, no doubt, surprised by the greeting of his father, because his father said to him, my son who was dead has returned to me. And the son is like, wait a minute, you were dead to me. I'm the one who said that you're dead. Can I have my property? And here you are saying to me, the one who was dead has been resurrected. He was no doubt very confused. And overjoyed, I'm sure, but not sure how to handle it. So dad says, let's have a party. My son is back. Let's celebrate. There's things to rejoice here. He who was lost has been found. The sheep who is gone is back. That coin that I lost has returned. So let's have a party. Let's rejoice and celebrate his catharsis, his return to the fold. So the older son, who has been a faithful, loyal son to his father, comes home and he's hearing the party and he says, well, what's this all about? Somebody comes out and says, well, you know, your little brother, he's home. And dad's really happy about it. And of course, the older brother's like, what? How does that work? I'm not coming in. So the father, who again breaks with protocol, because the father wouldn't do that in a normal situation. The son would come in. The father would never come out to see the son. He comes out to the son and says, listen, you know, I understand you're a little grumpy about this, but he's returned. We should celebrate. You know, Dad, all these years I served you faithfully, and never once did I have a party with my friends. You never gave me anything to party with. I've been faithful to you. And here this son of yours, who declared you dead and went out and partied and lost all of your stuff, comes back and you're happy about it. How does that work? Son, you've been with me always. Everything I have is yours. But we should rejoice. And part of the rejoicing is that your brother has undergone a catharsis. He realizes what he has done wrong, and he has come seeking forgiveness, and I have given it to him. And so get in here and party with the rest of your family. So there's a program called The Rest of the Story. Some of you may have remembered that from the old radio stations. My version of The Rest of the Story, would you like to hear it? Yeah, me too. So the son says, all right, fine, Dad, I'll go in and we'll have the fatted calf and we'll dance and sing and have a good time. And he did. And after everybody went home and he and his brother were sitting there, he and his brother out to the woodshed. And he and his little brother had a short conversation. That's how it works in families, isn't it? That's how it worked in my family. My sister and I were the middle two children of six. There was two older brothers and two younger brothers. And my older brothers were always the smartest and always the best, and I just wanted to be average. And so every once in a while, they would take me aside and say, look, you have a reputation to uphold. And then I would run away and they wouldn't be able to catch me. But there's so many pieces here. God, this Father of ours, who gives us everything that we want, everything that we ask for. And then if we lose it because we are sinful, or because we ignore his commandments, or we ignore his love, he again and again and again waits for us. And if we come to him and seek his forgiveness, he wraps us up in God's love and God's grace and says, thank you for coming home. Thank you for responding to my love. I'm becoming more and more fond of the phrase relentless love, because that's God's love. It is relentless. It never gives up. It never lets go. And so again and again and again, God comes and waits for us to come back and say, hello, Father, I have returned. I am sorry that I have sinned. I'm sorry that I betrayed you and the faith that you had in me. Please forgive me. Yes, yes, yes. Come and celebrate at the table with me. So, you know, I think a lot of us are probably more like the prodigal son. Some of us might be like the older son, who are faithful, faithful servants. But I wonder how much joy was in the life of that son. Yes, he was a faithful son, and yes, he worked hard. But I wonder how much joy there was in his life. And I think God calls us to joy. He wants us to be joyful in our lives. He wants us to understand and see creation for what it is, beautiful, God-given, to be enjoyed and celebrated and experienced. And he invites us to do that in our lives. So, you can decide who you want to be in this story. You can be the father who forgives those who challenge us, forgives us, forgives those, forgives those, forgives those. You could be the prodigal son who awakens and says, I have sinned, and I need God's love and forgiveness, and I come seeking it at the table, in our community, in our prayer. Or you can be the older brother who faithfully does what he's supposed to, but there's no joy. You get to choose. That's the power of our baptism. That's the power of our confirmation. That's the power of our community. We get to decide how we want to be a part of it. So as this week unfolds, think about it. Who do I want to be in my life? How do I want to be in relationship with God the Father? That's important, because God invites us and we should respond.